First of all, thank you again to Jeff and Rita Greenstein for sponsoring the DAF today. Today is in memory of Jeff's mother, Barbara Bela Bas Yaakov, and the Meretz Hashem, our learning should be Le'ilo Nishmasa.
Thank you.
Okay. We are in the middle of a discussion here, or I guess we got to the end of a certain part of the discussion. But we're continuing at the top of the daf, or towards the top of the daf, after the two dots, also known as a colon. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. Zaklau, kol shehu mimin dagan. This is the rule, anything which comes from the five species of grain. So it's kind of an interesting statement. What does that mean? Five species. Well, if anything comes from five species of grain is a problem. So then just say that. And why do you need to tell me all these other things from beforehand? The baker's water and the women's jewelry or cosmetics. So why do you have to have the whole thing? So we'll get to that soon. Tanya, the Braisa says, Am Rabbi Yeshua v'chimei achash shaninu kol shehu min dagan hareza over b'pesach lama manu chachamim v'seilu. So exactly, that's what I just said. Why exactly do you have to list all the specific things if we just are going to tell us at the end that anything from these species are going to be over, at least on the lav, not necessarily the karis, as we've seen. So Gemara says, Kadesha Yiragel Behen Vivishmos Nehen. These were apparently very common, and therefore people used to... could have been confused or maybe would make leniencies based on these things. Therefore, they wanted to specify them so people would know explicitly that these things are within the five species of grain and they'd be a problem. So the Gemara then says, Kihada hu bar marava iklalabava, when this guy came, doesn't say his name, Hahu, this guy from Eretz Yisrael came to Babel, Hava bistra bahade, he had some meat with him, Amar lehu krivuli mitachilta, bring me some kind of dip or spread. Is that what it means? Krivli mitchilta. He said, bring me a dip that I can eat my bread, even though he had meat with him. So he said, bring me some kind of thing, some shmir. So shama de ka'amri krivule kutach. They thought he said, or he heard them saying, bring him some kutach. Kevin the Shama Kutach perish. Once he heard that they were bringing Kutach, so then he stopped eating the meat, I guess. Not really sure exactly what's going on, but he had the Kutach with his bread, but he also had meat with him, so he stopped eating because he knew that Kutach had milk. So I guess this is something that I guess the Gemara is trying to emphasize, how you had to familiarize the ingredients of different things so that people would know what not to do with them. And this is one of those examples, not really a Chametz example, but it is an example of him knowing that it was milchik. I don't know how you don't know something's milchik when it has milk in it, but okay. Either way, so the Gemara says, Hare Elu Bazhara. These things are all usur, only bilav, meaning you get makas for them, but you don't get kares for eating them. So the Gemara says, Man tama dechametz dagan gamar alide tarovos. Who's the one that says that chametz of dagan is usur when you mix it together? I don't know if there's someone who doesn't say it's usur, but at least who's the one that we can quote that says that it's usur? We're at the second two dots, Hare Elu Bazhara. So who's the opinion that says such a thing? So the Gemara says, Vinoksha Be'enei Belav. Who's the one that says also not only Taroves is usur, but also Nuksha. Nuksha is basically like, I don't know, moldy bread, or it's like some kind of inedible bread. Here I have it, Chametz Ra. Now, what does Rashi say it is? Doesn't say. Rashi does say. In Montana, he says it. Apparently. It's bad bread or it's bad chametz, something that people wouldn't want to eat. which is visible, however, even though it's something people wouldn't want to eat, the fact that it's so out there and, I guess, in the open, is itself going to be aser. So who's the opinion that says that these things are aser, even though they're not literal bread? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Rabbi Meir hi. It's coming to Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Yehuda saying this from Rav, that it's Rabbi Meir. The Tana, the Braisa says, She'or. She'or means some kind of dough. All right, is that how it pronounces it? Is that how it says it here? Oh, here in the Sefari, it says it's Se'or. Okay, it's not Se'or. That's with an ayin. Or at least it's with an aleph, but it's a different word. Right, that when the pasuk says Se'or lo yimaseh v'atechem, that's a different word. Here it's talking about, what did I translate this? Leavening? It is Se'or? I don't know. Over here it says it's not the same thing as...
says here incompletely leavened.
Okay. It's incompletely leavened. Here it's saying it's actual leaven. Okay, I don't know exactly, but it's some kind of leavening agent or actual leavened bread that hasn't fully been leavened, and therefore it's considered chametz nuksha, meaning some kind of bad, inedible bread. So in that case, Rabbi Meir says, Yisarif, you should burn a benosel kalbo, and you should give it to your dog, va'ochlo barbaim, and someone who eats it would still get malchus. You wouldn't get karis, because it's not full-fledged, it's not literal chametz, but it is chametz nuksha, and therefore you'd have to burn it. So the Gemara says, wait a second, hagufa kasha. That doesn't make sense. Amar, tzior yisarif. First you said, you have to burn it. And then is alma, the fact that you have to burn it means asur b'hana, that you burn things that are asur b'hana. You can't get any benefit from them. V'hadra tani, and then you said v'nosan lefnei kalba, and then you said you can give it to your dog. Alma mutzah b'hana, therefore that implies that you would be allowed to get benefit from it. So which one is it? Can you benefit from chametz nuksha, or can you not benefit from chametz nuksha? So hachi kamar, this is what it means. Sior, or at least according to this Gemara, it's a shior. Yisarev, derebi meyer l'rebi meyer. According to what we're talking about with Rebbe Meir, so that's within Rebbe Meir's shita that you have to do such a thing. So what does this mean? So this basically saying that they have different understanding of how you categorize this thing. So when it says here de Rebbe Meir, it's referring to the that it's only slightly leavened. And therefore, anything that's slightly leavened, according to Rabbi Meir, has to be burnt. And similarly, when it comes to this, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's full-fledged chametz, you'd burn it, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But v'nosno lifnei kalbo, when it says afterwards you give it to the dog, that's referring to the seor or the shior of Rabbi Meir, meaning the slightly leavened bread of Rebbe Meir, but which is according to Rebbe Yehuda, who says it's mutzah b'hana. Meaning Rebbe Yehuda thinks that you only burn something which is full-fledged chametz, real bread. In this case of Rebbe Meir, of the shior, of the slightly leavened bread, Rebbe Meir says you burn it, but Rebbe Yehuda would say that you'd be allowed to use it, and therefore you can give it to the dog. And when it says, if you eat it, you get 40 lashes, asan l'Rebbe Meir again. We come back to Rabbi Meir, who thinks that it's aser to benefit from it because it is even chametz nuksha is aser within Shitas Rabbi Meir. So this is Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rabbi Meir, and then it's also including some parts of Rabbi Yehuda, which gets confusing, as you can imagine. I don't know why he would do it like that. But Gemara says, Shamin and Leila Rabbi Meir, nuksha ve'ene belav. Therefore, we learn from here, leaving out the Rebbe Yehuda parts, we learn from here that Rebbe Meir holds that chametz nuksha, which is some kind of inedible chametz, if it's visible, so then you get a chiyuv only of a lav. V'kol shekein chametz dagan gamar aide taroves. Once you learn, and this is an interesting kavachomer, and we'll see that it goes the opposite direction after this, that Rebbe Meir, once you learn it, Rebbe Meir holds that chametz nuksha is belav. So then kavachomer, all the more so if something's real chametz, but it's in a mixture. If it's real chametz and it's a mixture, so he says, of course, that would also be at least a lav. And therefore, you can understand that our Mishnah, which is referring to chametz b'tarovas, is also belav. Is our Mishnah both Chametz Nukshah and Chametz Tarovas? Forgot already. The Kutach would be maybe Nuksha. No, a Kutach would be Shechar, we said, was a Taroves. And we said other things were also Taroves. They had barley in them. But I think Kutach, we said, was had actual pieces of moldy bread, right? So that would be
right.
That,
and milk.
Right, so I'm not. I think that would be Chametz Nuksha. If I had to guess, I don't know.
Yeah, I'd also have fermented alcohol, which was a problem of its own.
Yeah. Okay. So either way, so let's just assume the Mishnah has both of these categories, and therefore it's Rabbi Meir. If Rabbi Meir holds by Chametz Nuksha that it's a problem, of course he would hold by Tarovas that it's a mixture is going to be a problem. So Gemara then continues, Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman says, no, it's not Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Eliezer, it's really Rabbi Eliezer. Detanya, the Braisa says, Al Chametz Dagan Gamor Anosh Karis. He says that if it's Chametz Dagan Gamor, then it's obviously going to be Karis. Val Eruva, however, if it's a mixture of that, so Balav, that's only going to be a lav. Div Rabbi Eliezer, that's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. V'chacham Ramrim, and Chacham say, Al Chametz Dagan Gamor, Anosh Kares, Al Eruve, below Klum. If you have an Eruv of a mixture of Chametz, so it's not a chaser at all, which is a crazy Chumra. That's crazy cool, I mean. So what does that mean? It means it's Aser Lechachila, but you wouldn't get Malkus for it. Unclear what exactly it means. Practically, can you eat things that are in a mixture if they're, so maybe it's not a kazayas of it. We'll get into a little bit of that maybe at the end of daf or tomorrow's daf about Tom Kicker and Bittel, but for now let's just say the Chametz say if it's in a mixture, if Chametz is in a mixture, you don't get any problem, no Malkus, not even a lav, whereas Rabbi Eliezer says you get a lav for real Chametz which is mixed into something else. So where is this v'shaminan la? And we learn from here the Rabbi Eliezer Damar Chametz Dagan Gamar Al Yet Haroves Belav V'Kol Shekein Nuksha Be'enei. And he holds that the Kav HaChomer goes in the other direction. If he holds that Chametz in a Taroves when it's mixed into something else's Aser, so then of course he would hold if something's not mixed in, but it's a little inedible if it's just is something bad to eat. So then that would obviously be Aser at least Belav. So Gemara says, so we have two shitas basically. We have Rav Nachman, first was Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda quoted Rabbi Meir, and Rav Nachman quoted Rabbi Eliezer. When Rav Yehuda quoted Rabbi Meir, he said it from Nuksha to learn it to a Taroves. Right? Nuksha was Aser, and surely Taroves is Aser, a mixture is Aser. And Rav Nachman, when he quoted Rabbi Eliezer said a Taroves was Aser, and all the more so would a Nuksha be Aser, and an inedible Chametz would be Aser. So Gemara says, now, Rav Nachman, right? Time alo amark Rav Yehuda. Rav Nachman, why didn't you hold like Rav Yehuda, that were really the source as Rabbi Meir? So Amar Lach, he would say, Dilma an kan lo kam Rabbi Meir hasam el Nuksha be'enei. About Chametz Dagan Gamar Al Yetarovas Lo, right? Because he holds the Kav HaChomer goes in the other direction. Just because Rabbi Meir says that Nuksha is Aser, just because Rabbi Meir says that inedible Chametz is Aser, that doesn't necessarily mean that he would hold that a mixture is Aser. Maybe it's only Aser when it's clear and obvious and it's tangible and it's not something that's mixed into other things. V'Rav Yehuda Maitama Lo Amar Rabbi Nachman Amar Lach. Why doesn't Rav Yehuda, who holds like Rabbi Meir, hold like Rav Nachman, who holds like Rabbi Eliezer? Amar Lach, Akalam Kamer Rabbi Eliezer Hasam El Chametz Dagan Gamar Aydei Taroves. Aval Nuksha Be'enei Lo Amar. Right? Maybe Rabbi Meir only holds. Sorry, Rabbi Eliezer only holds that it's Aser when it's mixed in, when you have real Chametz mixed in. But if you have moldy Chametz, so who's to say that that's actually going to be a problem? Even Rabbi Eliezer might be moldy otherwise, right? So it's really machlokas about which way you think the Kav HaChomer goes. And therefore, that's going to dictate whether you pasken that where the Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Eliezer. So Tanik Vast Rabbi Yehuda, we have a pasuk that we have a brisa that sounds like Rabbi Yehuda. That what? That Rabbi Meir, it's like Rabbi Meir that says once it's Nukshat, so they're also going to be Aser in a mixture. So Komach Masis Lo Zochel, the pasuk says anything which leavens is you're not allowed to eat. L'rabos Kutach Habavli Shechar Madi V'Chometz Hadom V'Zei Soma Mitzri. Yachli hei anosh kares. That pasuk which is saying that anything that's leavened is going to be aser. So the Gemara says, or that this Braisa says, it comes to include all those things, or many of those things that we listed in the Mishnah. Yachli hei anosh kares. Maybe you would think it's consequences kares. Tam and lomar ki kol ochel chametz v'nichrasa. Only if anyone who eats real chametz is going to be get kares. Al chametz dagan gamor anosh kares. Val eruvo bilav. Anything which is real chametz is going to get the iser. But if it's not, if it's in a mixture, so then it's only bilav. So Gemara then says, man shamasle to amar al eruvo bilav. Who's the one that says that the eruv of something, the mixture, is going to be only a lav? That's Rabbi Eliezer. V'ilu nuksha be'enei lo kamar, but it doesn't say anything about nuksha be'enei. And therefore, shema mina nuksha Rabbi Eliezer leisle. Right? The braisa, which says that it's only aser in a mixture, is going to tell me that chametz in a mixture is aser, but it never says anything about chametz nuksha. And therefore, even though that's according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Braisa never says anything about chametz nuksha, and maybe Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold of a lav for chametz nuksha.
What about if you have a mixture and you give it to your dog? Before it wasn't something that was fully leavened or fully prepared. About a page ago.
Yeah.
So what if it was a mixture? So I'm not going to eat it. I can't eat it. I'll get a lav for sure, or worse. Can I give it to my dog? I'm getting a benefit by giving it to my dog. I don't have to feed him other stuff.
So according to this, you wouldn't, but there's still an iser to have that chametz. Meaning you wouldn't get the iser of hana. You wouldn't get an added iser. You'd still, I think, get an iser for having having it in your house.
So is there a problem if I have possession of it, that's enough that I have a problem, then giving it, benefiting from it is even worse? Not eating it, of course, but...
Maybe. Not sure.
All right. I'll wait, maybe it'll come up again.
I don't know. It's an interesting kavachomer. We typically, when it comes to these types of things, we don't like making kavachomer is to create an iser, because then you can't punish it. If you ever have an iser which comes out of a kavachomer, you're not allowed to give malchus. But I don't know if that's anything to do with this. Because here they're clearly talking about whether or not you get malchus for this. So that's a kind of a different thing. But it's interesting, kavachomer. If you're over bal yirah bal matzeh, surely you should be over if you get hana from it. I don't know. So man shamas le da'amar al eruvah b'lav, so that's Rabbi Eliezer. Fine. Rabbi Eliezer eruva b'lav minale. How does Rabbi Eliezer know so for certain that you get an iser lav? You get malchus for having a mixture of real chametz with something else. Dechsev, the pasuk says, "Komach masas lo sochelu." Anything that leavens, you shouldn't get. You're not allowed to eat. Right, this is exactly the same brisa the same pasuk that the brisa used before. So it makes sense to say that was Rabbi Eliezer. So ihachi, if that was true, however, kares nami lechayiv. You should also say that you get kares, because why? Dehaksiv ki kol ochel machmetzes v'nichrasa. Machmetzes, anything that leavens. If you're darshing the word machmetzes to anything that leavens, even if it's something which is only a mixture and not full fledged bread, so then you should get kares too, because this pasuk uses the same word machmetzes. So Gemara says, no, hahumi baile l'chadetanya, the Braisa is using it for something else. Machmetzes v'nichrasa, ein li ela shenis chametz me'elav, I only know that it becomes leavened by itself. Machmas davarach, however, if you use something else, like yeast, to use it, some other property to make it leavened, so minayin, how do you know that that's going to, how do you know that that's also going to be aser? Tam lomar, ki kol ochel machmetzes v'nichrasa. So it's not coming to teach you anything, literally any type of mixture, but rather it's coming to teach you any kind of leavening agent. So Gemara says, wait a second. Di'i hachi, talav na'ami l'hachudasa. When you use the other pasuk of komach masas lo sochelu, you shouldn't be using it for anything, any mixture. You should be using it also for any kind of leavening agent. So Gemara says, Ela tamad Rabbi Eliezer is not from the word machmetzes, but rather it's from mi kol. The word kol machmetzes lo sochelu, is from the word kol, which says anything, not focusing on the word leavening, but anything with leavened, is going to be usur, including a mixture. So Gemara says, wait a second. Hahomi ba'alei l'rabbos asanashim. Don't we know that that pasuk is used to include women in the isur of chametz? Now you might say, wait a second, women in the isur of chametz? Of course women are obligated in the isur of chametz. Women are always obligated in the isurim. That's this Gemara. How do we know that women are always obligated in isurim? And it's just that they're not obligated in some kind, some positive commandments, because the pasuk says, nashim. Midrav Yehuda Amar Rav Nafka to Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Aklein Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Amar Kra Ish O Isha Kiyas Mikol Chatos HaAdam. The pasuk says a man or a woman when they do any kind of sin of a person Hishva Kasuv Ish Isha LeIsh LeKol Onchin Shebet Torah. That pasuk in Bamidbar Hevav. I guess that's Naso. In Bamidbar Hevav, when it says this pasuk, it's coming to teach you that any kind of iser, both men and women are obligated. And therefore, you don't need this word kol to include women. So why are you telling me that the word kol is used to include women in the iser of chametz? We already know women are included in the iser of chametz from this general pasuk, which says that women are always included in isurim. So Gemara says, no, it's drich, and this is some heavy... heuristic usage, right? How do you make drushas? And this comes into sort of chronology of drushas. I always think about this when I read Gemaras like this, like which one comes first and how do you know the order? But either way, let's just go through the Gemara. You can think about it yourself. It's drich. You need it. Why do you still need the pasuk of kol? Sal kadayit chamina. Maybe you would think, ho eluksiv lo sochal alav chametz shivas yavim tochal matzah, alav matzos. The pasuk says, you shouldn't eat chametz for 7 days. Instead, eat matzah. Kol sheyeshno b'kum echo matzah, yeshno b'batoch chametz. Anyone who has the obligation to eat matzah is going to have the obligation to not eat chametz. So Gemara says, "V'hani nashi," and now these women, "Ho v'leisnuhu b'kum echol matzah, tahavile mitzvah zaseh shesman grama." Now that women are not obligated in eating matzah because it's a time-bound positive mitzvah, ema bevatoch chametz nami leisnuhu. Maybe you would think they also don't have to keep chametz. What a reality! Imagine if the men would have to sit at the tables eating matzah. And not getting anywhere near bread, and the women are like feasting it up on some good pizza at the same time. That would be some reality, some kind of havamina the Gemara is coming up with here. Kamash Malam, the Gemara says, no, kol. The word kol comes to re-include women, right? So here's the chronology. The chronology is, no, women are not usher. Then we have the Gemara, the Pasuk in Bamidbar that says, women are usher just like men are usher for everything. And then it says, well, women aren't going to be usher because they're not chayiv in matzah. And now we're saying, oh no, because the word kol brings them back in, right? The word kol is needed to re-include them in the isur of chametz. By the way, at this stage in the Gemara, women are restricted from chametz, but they're also not obligated in matzah, right? So let's keep going. So Gemara says, wait a second, v'hasha disrabu l'hu b'vatoch ha-chametz, israbi na'am el-achilos matzah. And now that you say that women are obligated in not eating chametz, so then you go back to the original pasuk which says, lo socha, at the top of the daf, lo socha alav chametz shivas yam tocham alav matzos, that says, that now that they're inside of, they're included in the first part of the pasuk of lo socha alav chametz, they're now included in the end of the pasuk of not eating matzah. So it's a crazy chronology, right? Not usher, now they're usher in everything, now they're not usher because of this pasuk, then they're usher because of the word kol, and now they're not only usher, but also chayiv and chametz because of that pasuk, what we thought might have made them not usher or not obligated from beforehand. So it's one big circle, and the truth is, if you would learn these drushes in other orders, you could do the exact opposite. So it's kind of crazy, you know, how we determine these things, and the Gemara is going to actually ask that, I think, in a sort of subtle way. So the Gemara says, Karebi Elazar. They are obligated in eating matzah midaraisa. Women are obligated. They can't get away from this one. Shenamar lo sochal alav chametz. Shivas yamim, right? The end of the pasuk. Shivas yamim tochal alav matzos that we said at the top of the daf. So, kol sheyeshna b'batocha chametz, yeshna b'achilas matzah, v'hanina shinami hov, yeshna b'batocha chametz, yeshna b'kumecho matzah. Because they're included in chametz, they're also included in matzah. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Umay chazis dahai kol l'rabu inashim. Umafkas eruvo. Ema l'rabu eruvo. How do you know that the word kol is coming to include women? Maybe the word kol is coming to include mixtures. And that would basically sort of like a, you know, like a Jenga tower. If you pulled this kol out, so all of them would come crashing down. And then basically, if you use the word kol to teach you that the mixture is aser, so then that would mean, right, there's a lot hinging on this, that would mean that women are not obligated in chametz, and they're not obligated in matzah. And therefore, they wouldn't clean the houses for us, and they wouldn't prepare the seder for us, and we'd have to be stuck doing a lot of things. There's a lot riding on this drasha. Somebody says, no, mistavra kaiba ochlin, marba ochlin. Kaiba ochlin, marba nachalin. That anything when the pasuk is talking about the food, it's going to include food. Kai ba'ochlin marba nachalin. But would you ever say that if a pasuk is talking about food, it would come to include talking about those who eat the food? So of course not. And therefore, that this pasuk is referring to kol ochel is referring to the women who eat it. Not the things that are eaten. I said that backwards. Mistabra kaiba ochlin, those who eat, marba ochlin. You should come to include other people that eat. Kaiba ochlin, marba nachalin. If the pasuk is talking about those who eat, are you going to come to include something which is eaten? Meaning basically what? The pasuk says, kol ochel machmetzas. Anyone, a person who eats leavening. So what are you going to include in that drasha? It would make more sense to include people than it would to include food, because the word kol in that pasuk is referring to someone who eats, not something which is eaten. Yeah, Michael. You're muted. I wish I could hear your question.
Sorry. In other places in the Talmud, in like Kachim and other Baba, I think it was Baba Kama, when they exclude people, It's they talk about mutes or deafs,
yeah,
or people that are insane,
yeah,
that don't understand what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
versus a gender, they would. And so when I first saw that, I was thinking, okay, they mean even a mute can't eat chametz, or a person.
Well, those drushes,
careful that they don't eat it.
Yeah, I don't know what drushes you're referring to, but there are different types of things there. For different types of people, it depends on the nature of the mitzvah. So sometimes there's a mitzvah that requires someone to see, right? If they can't see, so they're not chayev in tzitzis because they can't see. The pasuk says arisim so. There's sometimes where if there's a mitzvah and it's time bound, then that's going to exclude women. If there's a mitzvah and it's a regular mitzvah, some people are just not obligated in the mitzvahs. So it depends on the situation. Here, the situation is that we're dealing with a time bound positive mitzvah. So when it comes to a time bound positive mitzvah, the rule is that excludes women. Right? So I don't know exactly what examples you're talking about.
Well, everyone eats, as far as I know. So I was wondering when I first saw the kol what they were meant. And if they were, that's why I'm asking, because
you're saying, would it include
other places they do at, and someone has to be aware that if they're going to do this or something they can't do, they have, if it was a negative commandment, it might exclude them.
Right.
If they don't have seichel, and this is a positive commandment.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. So you're saying, why do we include women and not include other people that would also be excluded? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, someone has no understanding, they're going
to
be positive.
So typically, when it comes to drushes, when it comes to inclusions, so we take the least chiddush first, right? So a woman is the first thing to be included before people who aren't obligated in anything, right? We're not going to jump all the way to the people that aren't obligated in anything. We're going to first take the women who are obligated in some things and say that even though they're obligated in some things and not obligated in others, they'll be obligated in this one too. Right, so I think that's, I mean, that also gets to sort of the logic of drushas that I can't really explain, but that's how I understand it.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, Maskif la Rav Nasan ba'arvua de Rav Huna v'chol heicha tekai ba'ochlin lomar ne'achalim. Is it really true that any time a pasuk is used as a means of include or as a is talking about people who eat, that the drasha is going to be used as a means to include other people who eat, and it's not going to be coming, it's not going to include those who that which is eaten? Is that really true? Vatana, here's a brisa from the middle of nowhere that I'm going to quote to you that disproves your point. Can you imagine what kind of knowledge these people had to have to really come up with these to think of every drasha in the entire Torah and to say, oh, I know one drasha that disproves that theory. It's unbelievable. They say about the Vilna Gaon that when he was older in life, he wouldn't do chazara by reading Gemaras. He would just do chazara by reading a Torah. Right? He had a Torah and he would just go through the psukim and he'd know every single drasha for every single pasuk. So that's the kind of thing I think of with these types of Gemaras. You're telling me that every time a pasuk says that it's talking about a person who eats, it only can be marbe people, other people who eat. But here's a pasuk which talks about someone who eats, and it's coming, and we make a drasha that includes someone who, something which is eaten. It's just the nuance is crazy. So either way, as the Gemara says, "Vatanya kol ki kol ochel chelev min habehema asher yakriv." Mimenu Yishel Hashem. The pasuk says in Vayikra, I guess it's Tzav maybe, that any chelev from an animal that you bring to to a karban, you get kares for eating it if you eat that chelev. So ainli ela chelev tamimin. I only know that it's the chelev that's us, or you get kares for, is for the chelev of behema which is pure or full or unblemished. I don't know what the proper adjective would be, because that type of animal is going to be brought on as a karban, and now you're eating it, it's going to be kares. But chelev bali mumin, but the fat of an animal which is already blemished, minayin, how do I know that it's still usher to eat that? Taman lomar, the pasuk says, min habehema, to include any from the animal, no matter what kind of animal, even if it's a blemished animal. So Gemara then says, chelev chulin minayin, how do I know that you're not allowed to eat the fat of even a non-carbon animal? Taman lomar, ki kol. What is that word ki kol referring to? It's not referring to the chelev, it's referring to the person who's eating chelev. Ki kol ochel chelev, anyone who's eating the chelev. V'ha-ha-cha dekai ba'ochlin, we're talking about people who eat the chelev, v'kabarb, v'kamarba ne'chalin. And the drasha is being used to include chelev of an animal, which is chulin. So there's a situation where it's a person, the words mean a person, and we're coming to include the food that's being eaten, not another person. So how is that the case? How can you tell me that by chametz it should also work for...
Didn't the Gemara in the previous line say that you're using min, a behema, to include...
Well, that's referring to the actual food, right? Min habehema is the stuff that comes from the animal, right? But that's the end of the pasuk, or end of the phrase. Ki kol ochel is someone who eats. Ochel here means the person who's eating. So the words min habehema, you can use that to include other food, because that's from the animal. That's referring to the food. But here, the word kol ochel is referring to the person eating the food, and nonetheless, we're including the meat of the animal, right? You got that?
Okay, go ahead.
Is that what your question was?
Well, I mean, I thought that the pasuk first says that you don't eat the chelev.
Yeah.
Initially, it includes the animals that's brought for a korban.
Yeah.
Unblemished.
Right.
And then it asks the question, what about a blemished animal?
Right.
Where do we learn that from?
Right.
The chelev of blemished animals is learned from mina behema.
Right.
Right?
So yeah.
That's how you included the blemished animal.
No, well, what the drasha actually is...
I'm sorry, the question is not on blemish, the question is on chulin.
Right.
Something that wasn't consecrated.
Right.
Oh, okay.
It's a separate category. Right.
Okay.
The blemished animal is the one that you would have brought on the carbon as a carbon, but it's blemished. The chulin animal is one you're never going to bring on the carbon in the first place. So that's included from the word kol. So Gemara says, no, hasam deleika ochlin. Over there, there's nothing else to include. Everything's already included. Because women are also asur in that case, from the other pasuk that we said that women are always obligated in Isurim. So therefore, if there's nobody else to include within the realm of mitzvos that's not already obligated, so marba ne'achalin. In that case, you can use the drasha to include other foods. Hacha, however, in the case of matzah and chametz, de'ika ochlin, there are other people that are not yet included in the iser, i.e. women. So lo shavik lula ochlin marba ne'achalin. We're not going to push aside the more general, congruent drasha, which is talking about people, darshaning from a word referring to people. We're not going to push that aside in order to include food from a word which is referring to people. Okay, now that we've established that, v'rabbanan, and what about the rabbanan who said before, according to them, who don't obligate anybody in taroves, right? The rabbanan said that you learn out, right? They had machlokas Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, you darshan machmetzes to include taroves, and and the rabbanan say you don't darshan it. So deleis lehu eruv. So according to the rabbanan, who don't have an iser for eruv, so kol lo darshi. They don't darshan the word kol, which is from kol machmetzes, right? That's referring to the food. So they don't darshan the word kol. So elanash min alehu. So this is very interesting. Havamina. It's basically saying now we know that the rabbis don't use the word kol. So they didn't use the word kol over here to teach you about kol machmetzes, to teach you about any type of mixture. So maybe over here where it's talking about kol ochel chametz, they also don't use the word kol. And therefore, they wouldn't have a source for women to be obligated in eating chametz. Again, very difficult, drasha. We need to fix this one. So Gemara says, kol lo darshi. It's true, they don't darshan the word kol, but ki kol darshi. The word kikol ochel chametz, that's the one that they're going to take. I don't know why, I don't know what the difference is, but they'll darshan the word kikol, but they won't darshan the word kol by itself. Thankfully, that includes women in the iser of chametz and the obligation of matzah thereby also. So that's how the rabbanan say it.
Maybe I missed something at the beginning, but we're talking about mixtures that have chametz in it, right?
Yeah, real chametz.
So, wasn't way back in the Gemara a discussion about how much chametz, puzzles something? I mean, it was like a mashu. I mean, it wasn't much of anything. Not butthole, but she.
Yeah. So we talked about taroves back then, and we're going to talk about it again soon. For tomorrow's daf, we're going to talk about it. That's the bottom of the daf today. What was the conclusion over there? The conclusion over there was you shouldn't eat even any of it.
We'd be discussing mixtures that have chametz as a possible leniency.
I'm not sure to the extent of the iser that we talked about b'mashehu. It might have been aser, but it wouldn't necessarily be...
It was something that became a mixture on Pesach itself. When we're talking mixtures here, are we talking about mixtures that were created on Pesach, or are we talking about mixtures that were created before Pesach?
Mm.
Or maybe the difference is it's all forbidden, it's just the difference is the punishment.
That's what I was thinking, that it's about Malkus versus...
Karate.
Right. Karis versus Malkus, I'm not sure.
Versus nothing.
Right.
Karate... Malchus or nothing.
Right. So the Rabbanan that we just said that say that there's no Isser of Taroves, that's not to say that they don't hold this Usser. That's just to say that they don't hold that there's Malchus, I think. So I'm not sure. When we said the back by the Bitzel B'Shishim Gemaras, was that saying... I don't remember the context. Was that talking about Isser? Was that talking about eating? Was that talking about Bal Yirah? Here we're talking about getting malchus for eating it. I don't remember what we're talking about by that case.
I don't either, but it just seemed like there was a very strong iser vis-a-vis chametz.
Yeah.
For the general discussion, and here we are about mixtures, and it's not so bad.
Right. Well, we did talk about, I think the bits of Bashishim also included other matzah that wasn't chametz, wasn't it? It was like a min bimino situation also.
It was fancy matzah, like the egg matzah?
No, that was the meperos gemara.
That was a different thing.
Those are the different types of matzah.
Yeah.
I think Henry's talking about the gemaras even before that, which talked about the mixtures.
Very, very early on.
It was probably a couple weeks ago. Not 100% sure the difference between here and there. Maybe there is no difference, and now we're just trying to sort of, you know, learn about the actual source of the Isser.
Okay, just
not 100% sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hard with Daf Yomi. You have to keep everything in check from a long time ago. Yeah, I don't remember. I'd have to look into it a little bit more. I'd have to look back at those.
I don't even have that Gemara in front of me.
Yeah, I don't either. Okay, we'll have to. We'll get back into it at the end of the daf today, or actually tomorrow probably. But I guess I'll try to look it up before we get into it tomorrow because it's going to come up again.
It's in the bottom of. Well, near the bottom, it's talking about this mixture that's indistinguishable, that we, which would definitely...
Yeah, that's what we're talking about tomorrow. Yeah. That's what we're talking about tomorrow. So we'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow, but let's just finish today's daf. So Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who does darshan the word kol, so ema kol l'rabos es hanashim, ki kol l'rabos es eruvo. Why doesn't he use the word kol to include women, and then the word ki kol to include tarobes? V'chi tema ki kol Rabbi Eliezer do lo darish. If you're going to tell me that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't darshan the words ki kol, so then v'hatanya, the brisa says, so'or la taktiru, ainli ela kulo miktsasu minayin. You only, he says that you shouldn't bring, there's a pasuk that says you shouldn't bring chametz onto the mizbeach. Right, kol mincha she'takriv la'Hashem lo tse'aseh chametz kichol so'or v'chol dvash l'asinu menu shel Hashem. So the Gemara says only when you bring a kezayis worth of leavened something, leavening, would that be a problem? But miktzaso, if you only bring a chatzi zayis, if it's not a full kezayis, maybe that would be okay. Minayin, how do you know it's a problem? Tamalomar kol so'or, to include even a little bit. So eruva minayim, how do you know that a mixture of having leaven inside of something and you can't see it, how do you know that that's the lasser? Tam lomar ki kol. It says the word ki kol su'or. Uman shamas le didarish kol. Rabbi Eliezer v'kadarish ki kol. How do we know that Rabbi Eliezer is still the one that says the? How do we know that Rabbi Eliezer darshan the word ki kol? Because apparently this is going according to Rabbi Eliezer, v'kadarish kikol, the one who says the word kol is darshanable, is Rabbi Eliezer, right? Not the Rabbanan. And nonetheless, in this same brisa, he also uses the word, presumably that it's still him, he also uses kikol in the same brisa. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer should have darshaned women and mixtures from the same pasuk, and thereby also including the Isser to have the punishment of Kares, not just the Isser of Malkus. The Isser, the punishment of Malkus. So at the end of the day, Kasha, you can't get out of that one. He should have darshan Kikol according to how we understand that Brisa.
In Manasseh's thing, go into detail about how they went out of the way to prevent any chametz from happening with the
Mincha. Right. Yeah, that makes sense that would be the Gemara over there. Okay. Tomorrow we'll pick up with this tomorrow because it gets a little complicated with the concept of Heter Mitzdarif L'Isser. Right now that we invoked Rabbi Eliezer Shita that you can include Chati Zayas in something inside Minister, now we're going to talk about, well, what if it's a Chati Zayas, how are you going to make it Usser? And the answer is that you can combine it with something Mutter to create the necessary size of something like a Kazayas to make it Usser. Okay. Shkayach, everyone. A little complicated there at the end, but we got through it. Women are obligated in matzah and chametz, just like us.
And I can't give it to my dog.
Or your dog. Okay, everyone should have a good day, good week. Stay safe on the roads.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greensteins, for sponsoring. Shamash Havin Aliyah.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome. Thank you.